God, it's a privilege and it's an honor. So in this moment, let's take a little bit of time. I always like to do that and reflect on the music, the liturgy, and then God, talk to your heart just for 30 seconds before we get to our message. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. We truly believe that you are present in our midst this morning. We thank you that your Holy Spirit will minister into our hearts. Father, now as we finish speaking to you, sharing our prayers, our singings to you, now it's time for us to listen to you. So we ask, Father God, that you speak and through me, for me and your congregation this morning. We truly don't know what to say, other than what you already said. So help us communicate it clearly and accurately so that your people may understand, I may understand, and may we live as you want us to live. We thank you, we love you, we appreciate you. Be in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Together we got 2 weeks ago, Steve urged us to put on the new clothes and put away the old clothes. In other words, do not keep living with your old clothes on. Then Pastor Jeremiah continued with the same theme of the old and the new. And then last week, he again preached on Ephesians 5, 8-14. And Jeremiah brought the message to a powerful point with this words, wake up. Paul said, wake up, sleepers. And the idea of waking up is not just opening your eyes, but stand up. Stand. So now Paul moved on Ephesians 5 verses 15-20, that's the just read for us. He began with the word, therefore. Need I say anymore? When you hear the word therefore, it tells you, look back. Think of what Pastor Jeremiah said, what Pastor Steve says, therefore. Now again, since he has already called the church to wake up, as Pastor Jeremiah went out for us last week, now he said, be careful how you walk. If you are no longer sleeping, then you must pay attention to how you are walking. The New English International Version said this way, be very careful then how you live. But if I may go back, the word that actually Paul used came the image of walking instead of living, as we find it in the NIV. And for Paul, walking is often the metaphor for the whole directions of life. Since you are no longer asleep, do not live carelessly. Look around, pay attention to what is happening around you. The world today is evil. The world never has been more deceived than it is today. If these words were true for Paul's time, it is even more true for us today. He said the days, his days, are evil. Just like our days today are evil. You don't need to look hard to look the chaos that is happening in our world today. So my friend, because the days are evil, we are called to walk wisely by redeeming the time, know the will of the Lord, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the days are evil, we are called to redeem the time, understanding the will of the Lord, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, what do Paul really mean when he calls us to live wisely, or the idea of redeeming the time? What does it mean? We are called to live wisely by redeeming the time. Now, let's look with me again at Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 16. It said, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." Paul called us to live wisely by redeeming the time with two ideas. The first one is to examine our work. Wise people redeem the time by examining how they're walking. Again, we said walking is living. We're going to talk about the word walking on the NIV, how it's translated. Be very careful how you live. It's used the word walking for live. Technically trying to explain the word walk, but think about it. Walking is moving around. If you are moving around, then you have choices to make. You have decisions to make. To live is to walk. So Paul begins by commanding his believer, the believers, to walk carefully, not as wise, but not as unwise, but as wise. Now the two words, there are two important words that the NIV translate, be very careful how you live. The first word is really bluko, which is coming from the word bluko, which means blepete, really the word, the idea of watching, see, pay attention, carefully watch. And then the other word is careful, accurately examine. So other word, it's Paul is simply saying that pay careful attention to how you're walking. In other words, we are people who are supposed to be spiritually alert, not drifting away. That means we need to be wise. Wisdom is not how much information we know about God, but how we are living. So here, Paul is very practical. So the idea of being wise is really a relationship to how you are living, what decision you are making. Every day we wake up, we have a decision to make. How should we live our children? What is going on with our marriage? What decision we fare? How do we need to use our money? Where do we need to invest? Where we shouldn't be investing? And a lot of times we may think God has nothing to do with that. It's my money, let me decide. My marriage, let me decide what I want to do. It's my kids, I want best for him, therefore I decide how to live. How to raise them. But Paul is saying, hey, watch it. Be careful. Live wisely. So he said, we need to be watched carefully. And second, he said, we need to seize the opportunities around us. Let's look again at verse 16. He said, make the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Wise people redeem the time by seizing opportunities. So because of this, then wisdom is necessary. Why? Because the days are evil. Evil is not simply a moral weakness or bad behavior. Today when we think of evil, we often put it in a category of bad decision. Yeah, that decision is coming from evil, but Paul means more than that. So evil here is also has a supernatural dimension in it. In fact, the construction, the days of evil, Paul talked about evil days elsewhere, but the way he talked about it here is the only place he talks about it this way. The days of evil. Now, a lot of commentary and theologian think this differently. Some see it as something like a far distance. The day of the Lord is coming, so be prepared. Paul is not really talking about that here. But he's talking about the day that is the Ephesians are living. This particular day right now, at the moment, is evil. And to tell you the truth, today is even worse than the time of Paul. We're facing at the time were pushed and constantly trying to redefine what Paul told them the gospel is. They constantly trying to redefine what the church is. You walk in certain church today and you wonder, really? Is that a place where God is being worshipped? People are confused. The enemy is being deceiving. The enemy is deceiving them. So we are living at an evil time, my friend. Here Paul means the evil days is not just a moral chaos, but also there's a spiritual dimension that is in our midst. Paul later will speak about rulers, authority, cosmic powers, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places that are waging war against us. Sometimes when we started talking about spiritual warfare, people can get very sensitive. And I think that's why sometimes we so emphasize on people. Sometimes we make judgment only based on just evaluating what meet the eye. Paul said, be careful, my friend. If you evaluate a problem all the time as if the problem in the world is just a moral failures, it's easy to think like somehow the government, somehow the counselors, somehow the doctors can resolve the problem, can take care of the problem. But if we know that the root of the problem is inspired, is coming from the prince of evil, then we know there's one person who can deal with it. It's Jesus Christ. Yeah, Christ already went to battle. But that doesn't mean the enemy, the prince of peace, and the prince of evil is not waging war against us. And Ephesians 6:12, Paul says, For our struggling is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authority, against the power of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The days of evil. We are called, my friend, to walk by redeeming the time. To walk by redeeming the time. Second, Paul said, we are called to live wisely by understanding God's will. Because the days of evil, we are called to live wisely by understanding God's will. Now let's read with me verses 10 and 17, Ephesians 5 verse 17. See what it says. It says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now it's interesting. Paul comparing foolishness with understanding the will of God. But also people clearly there is not a clear parallel here. You can't talk about foolishness in the will of God. You say foolish, and then you tell someone understanding. You talk foolish or someone in the right mind. That's sort of the parallel. You can say, do not be foolish and then bad understand God. Paul is not simply making a simple parallel comparison. Well, he's not comparing two things, contrasting two things in a simple parallel. Here there's a deeper theological in the back of Paul's mind. Now if you read Proverbs 1 verses 7, it says, the beginning of knowledge, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And fools despise instruction and wisdom. So here Paul is simply saying that a person who is not fearing the Lord, he is a foolish. A wise person is someone who seeks God's will. A wise person is someone who understands the will of God. A wise person is someone who pays attention to God. So if you are making any decision at all, if you're living anywhere at all where God's will is not the determining factors of how you live, how you decided to live, how you make decisions, then you are not living as Paul called you to live as wise Christian. The days of evil, my friend, that we need to live wisely. Paul here is an Old Testament theologian. So Paul here is really thinking about the Old Testament wisdom and Old Testament literature. In the Greek, in the Jewish mind, especially during the Second Temple period is the time between Jesus and the closing of the Old Testament. When the people coming back from exile, they started wondering, wait, what am I supposed to do? Where is the Messiah? And because of that, they started writing a lot about the Messiah, the end of time, eschatology. So it is a close connection between wisdom and end times. Many times we live in where when things happen in our life, we often think about solution within this world rather than looking into God's world. In an emergency time, your child is sick and you get up. The first thing you think, I need to go to the doctor. How about if this moment a wake up call to speak to God, to pray to God? Paul wants us to know that God is supposed to be the first. He is the priority. Anything else is supposed to follow what is His will. So he said, do not be foolish. And here again, the phrase in Greek is not simply do not be foolish. In fact, it is do not become foolish. It uses the word ginomai, which means to become. In other words, being foolish was almost, it's a process. It's something you're becoming. So Paul's saying, you're supposed to be becoming wise. You're supposed to live. That means it's walking, it's a living, and you're making decisions, you're walking. The same way a foolish person sometimes can become foolish after living. So Paul said, do not become foolish. But I'm listening to God's word. The idea of fear God, obey God, worship God. Think about God's will. What does He want you to do? And at this time, at Paul's time, it's critical. Because the Christians are very young. And by young, I mean like Christianity really just started now about like maybe 60 years now. So they're still trying to adjust and understanding. And they live in a world where they need to understand, how do I worship God? So God's will is not simply thinking in a broad way, but specifically at time. Yeah, God's will is for you to accept Jesus, to love Jesus. But Paul here is being practical, not necessarily just faith or theological faith, but rather a practical response. God's will. We talk a lot about what God's will is. I mean, how can a Christian really, how do you live in the world without knowing, without walking in God's will? How do you stay Christian in this world? I don't think we ever been so challenging. Our faith never be so challenged as it is today. Today, people define themselves instead of letting God define them. People say, I want to be a woman or I want to be a man, rather than say, God is the one who decides that. When your kids, husband or wife, friend, struggle with confusion, the identity problem, who do we point them to? So the church in general was facing with this particular question, really, how do we worship in a place like this? How do we become Christian? And if you are reading Ephesians, out of like memorizing Ephesians, if you're reading Ephesians or memorizing faithfully, you know this cult movement. It was defined, here's how we saved. Jesus come and died for us. And then talk about the church, the unity between Gentiles and Greek. And then he moves in chapter 4. Since chapter 4, he started talking about how we apply this identity. We not only saved, like us, we not only Christian, but how do we live as a Christian? Now this is the question Paul is addressing. And it's important for us to have it today. Because the days are evil. We are called to live wisely by redeeming the time, understanding God's will, the will of the Lord and being filled with the Holy Spirit. So Paul goes on in verses 5 to 18. Now he said, we are called to live wisely by being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm a very dynamic creature. I mean, like, I'm not someone who take largely. As you probably can struggle a little bit at me. I don't take linearly a lot of times. And as someone who comes from Haiti and Trent and American education, I have an American education. So we thought about taking linear, follow logic. And here I struggled with this passage as I was reading it. Not because it was hard, the words were hard, but really how Paul put it together. Notice he didn't about calling, he said, be careful how you live. Within the time, and then he goes, he said, understanding God's will, and then he moved to being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now you might say, well, why the Holy Spirit is the last thing to be said? Can we live wise without the Holy Spirit? Can we see God's will without the Holy Spirit? But Paul is thinking in terms of unity here. Because one thing, being filled with the Holy Spirit, when we heard this term, a lot of people are present heavily today. Because they are always so well to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to fall on your back, you need to kind of like have this crazy moment that you appear to be a little bit unusual or weird. I'm not saying sometimes the Holy Spirit cannot do weird things. He's a Holy Spirit, he's not human, according to us, he will do your thing, human thing, and weird thing. Maybe tell Peter and Paul, you know, I don't want you to go anywhere. Send your handkerchief to somewhere, and then it will heal someone. Or Jesus said, well, today I need to heal you. I'm not going to speak. I'm going to use clay and put it in your eyes, and then you will heal. He can do weird things. But being filled with the Holy Spirit here is more about really how are you walking with the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it can show in a simple act of love. A simple act of walking by someone and encourage them. And it's interesting here, Paul making a contrast between being filled with the Holy Spirit and getting drunk. Let's read verse 18 to 20. It said, do not get drunk on wine, which lead to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Speaking to one another with song, hymns, and song from the Spirit, singing and making music from your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul contrasts drunkenness with being filled with the Spirit. The comment, do not get drunk with wine, is really important here. And of course, a lot of people think, well, this is simply like, don't go drinking wine and get drunk. Yeah, Paul did that because obviously when you get drunk, you lose control. And Paul is talking about self-control. You need to be controlled. But he means more than that here. Again, as I already point out here, there's a supernatural dimension that was in war with us today here. So Paul also have this in view here. And also Christian now to redefine how they worship, because Christians are young. Again, they are failing a group of people who not began and who just began shortly after Jesus raised from the dead. And now they have to decide it. And that's all the Greek and Roman world and the Jewish way of understanding God. How do we Christian now bring in the Gentile from the Greek and Roman world, and then the Jews together? Now, how are we going to worship as one? And Paul has a struggle with that. So here, do not get drunk. It's not just a warning against drinking alcohol. Drinking alcohol, feasting, music, devotion to the gods, or coming practice and begin worship at the time. In Ephesus, particularly there was a god called Dionysus, that's the name of the god, kind of hard to pronounce because there's not much literature about it. So the way they worshipped Dionysus was through getting drunk in excesses, where sort of like the spirit of this god followed them and then let them what their will is. So they were to get drunk, play music, singing and dancing, and then seeking the world of Dionysus. And a lot of times sexual activity were involved. And for Christians at that time, some of them probably said, well, why is it not falling down on the ground? Why am I being possessed too and filled? Maybe there was some question they were having. And Paul saying, do not get drunk wine, do not worship like that, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. We are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. What does that really mean? As a Christian, all of us have been given the Holy Spirit. But there's a difference here. You can have the Holy Spirit. All of us, if you're sitting here, if you proclaim Jesus Christ our Savior, that means you have the Holy Spirit inside you. He's your friend, He's your guide, He's your counselor, He is your God, and He's your helper. But we're not always filled with the Holy Spirit. Does He go away? No. Can it be out? No. If you are a Christian, He's your guarantee, the deposit that Jesus, God, has made in you. But what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Why Paul's telling them to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Let me illustrate this way. A lot of you are best friends. Imagine going to your best friend's house. You sit there, he's sitting next to you, and nobody said a word. And then after 20 hours, or maybe not, I don't think any of you sit for 20 hours with a friend. Think about, like, you stay there for 1 or 2 hours, nothing said. And then all of a sudden, the friend walks away. How are you going to feel? What are you going to consider this friend to be? Something wrong, obviously. But the Holy Spirit, He's not someone who just listens to you. He needs to act with you. Now He's your friend. You can have the Holy Spirit and not really listen to the Holy Spirit. And Paul said, being filled with the Holy Spirit is yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit's rule and direction. A commenter said, to be filled with the Spirit by the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit becomes the control influence. So Paul making the difference now, instead of being controlled by alcohol, we need to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now obviously, as I already said, being controlled doesn't mean the Holy Spirit working independent of you or His twin warrior or being possessed of. You need to yield to His will. You work in collaboration with the Holy Spirit. But He's the control. He is the one who is in the control influence. Are you walking by the Spirit? Do you feel with the Spirit? Well, this feeling expresses itself in different ways. One of it is in communal. And Paul is definitely addressing that right now. It expresses itself in the community. And then Paul said, and in the passage, it went about two results. As we are filled with the Holy Spirit, there's two things that happen. First of all, it is a relationship with others. What happened? We uplift others. So there is a vertical, there is a vertical and horizontal dimension here and being filled with the Holy Spirit. One of them is how we relate with one another. The other one is how we relate with God. So Paul says, first of all, how we relate with others. Let's read again verses 18 to 19. It says, do not get drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And here's the result. The first one, he says, speaking to one another with hymns, excuse me, with song, hymns, and song from the Spirit. Singing with music from your heart to the Lord. Now, not as Paul started, like how you relate with others, saying, make music to others, and then he goes on to say, make music to the, make music from your heart to the Lord. Can you believe it? You can sing to people. You can read song to people. Earlier, when Craig was leading music, he said, we are creatures who are called to sing. That's what we call to do, and he loved to sing. I'm not a good singer, but I sing every day in the shower when nobody's watching. You have this moment with God and you shine. That's like when all the aspirations started coming. You can't but sing it. But another way to, you can sing to people. Now, we don't do that in reality. It's more the professional or the one who sang to people. Sometimes I listen to Lo and Devil. She speaks to me through songs. You never listen to Lo and Devil? To Hell Song? They speak to you. They uplift your soul. Now, of course, they are not as intentional as Paul wants them to be. To come to you and uplift you with music, like David played for Saul. Now, we don't necessarily have to sing, but there are many other ways you can uplift someone. Sometimes you may walk to someone and you simply say, God bless you. And you think you said something simple, and yet, it's a great thing. It changed the day for the person. You may proclaim a blessing that you didn't know. God bless you. I hope your work go well today. I hope you have a great time at work today. Paul said, this is what it means to fill with the Holy Spirit, to live wisely. There's nothing extraordinary about it. Go on living simple love. But also, Paul warning those who actually sometimes longing for comfort elsewhere. Sometimes you have bad time. I don't know, maybe pain, or you're going through a hard time in your marriage, your children are difficult, and you feel like somehow you want comfort somewhere. I don't believe anyone does that here. But the people, what the first place they go to is go up to a bar, drink a bottle of alcohol. You never wonder why this is easy to go to get rid of the problem. Simply because they want to lose control. And now alcohol become the one controlling them, so they don't have to worry about anything. So now what happened? Since they're under control, the alcohol or whatever substance that is, then the decision become under the influence of this alcohol. So the alcohol or the substance, whatever it is, make the decision for them. You know, and then after they come sober, they're like, wow, what did I do? Regrets. Paul said, be careful. Live wisely. Live wisely by being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I hope as you walk out today, you need to ask yourself this question. Am I being filled with the Holy Spirit? Not if you have the Holy Spirit. There's no doubt. I would have gone to 100% if you didn't know that, that you have the Holy Spirit. But I can't tell you if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You never say it. And then all of a sudden you hear this urge, hey, I want you to take action in this thing, and then fighting against this voice in your head. That's a lot of the time that's the Holy Spirit telling you, hey, my friend, live wisely. The days are evil. Do not let the opportunity go and not take it, because if you don't do it, then it will be waste. Yeah, time can go to waste. One thing I learned, today never like tomorrow. It's always today. I never heard people refer to today as tomorrow. And when today gone, it's an opportunity that mess if you didn't do anything. So Paul said the days are evil. That means there are things that are happening in their world that is happening in our world. And we have to do something about it. Today is your time. What is God is telling you to do? Today is your time. What needs to be fixed? Today is the time for us to start speaking to the churches around us. We're searching for God who are lost. It's sad. When you think about Paul's word, the days are evil, you cannot but think about the world, about our church, about how people are living. A lot of it is not just do's and don'ts, but it's really the practice that the church is saying that are theologically right. Paul fight against that. Paul fights against it. People die in the arena because of it. They don't want to confirm. But today, we often say, well, if everybody do it, we need to find a way to do it with them. It's difficult, but we need to be wise. We need to be careful how we walk every day. Today, a lot of you probably know that I went to Haiti 2 years ago. And as I get there, people live in a village. Now, there are things like, if I were to tell here, that would not make sense. But a lot of them I realized after living in the U.S. for a little bit, I realized one of the things is sometimes, I think C.S. Lewis said that, he said the enemy walked two different ways, but only one way. One of the things is to make people think too much about him. And one of them is to make them think he's not even around. And when I come here, I notice one thing. A lot of things that are happening, it's easy to place it on the person. And when we do that often, our judgment is the person. We're not going to go to God. In Haiti, everything people do, it seems like somehow the devil is behind it. And I'm not saying one of them is right, one of them is wrong. Now, when we find balance, and I started to understand, because a lot of time the best answer is we don't know. And I think that's the thing, it is to always come to God. And it means that I don't know, therefore, God, how should I deal with that situation? In my sophomore year at Moody, my sophomore freshman year while I was at Moody, there's a man in my village that I know pretty well. And this man, he served a particular deity, they said, and the way he served that deity is get drunk. But I'm telling you, it's a true story. Listen to that. So this man get drunk. He climbed a tree, a tall tree. While he's in the tree, somehow the excesses that he had on him, he kind of left them. So he come down sober, whatever it was, and he can't come down. He fell, and he died right there. Whatever it was, whether he was drinking or something else, he fell. So in other words, getting drunk is still wrong. So when you get drunk, you lose control of yourself. And whatever you are under is controlling. I see a lot of signals. It's time for you to stop by. So I want to encourage you, Paul called us and simply told us that we need to be careful how we live. Since the days are evil, or because the days are evil, we need to redeem the time, understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be filled with the Spirit of God. Let us pray. Lord, sometimes, and honestly, we don't know how to live. And back then it was always the gods, now it's always human. It's always some kind of power attributing to the wrong place. So God, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you help us understand your will. That you are the God who have all the answers. And we need to be humble enough when we're confused, we don't know, to stop saying and come to you for guidance. Help us fill with your Holy Spirit. So we can be people who live wisely before you. We love you in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.